This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Worthy is the Lamb. It's through the Lamb, Father, that we can come to you, that we can enter your throne room, Father, and that we can speak to you, that we can praise your name as what we've been doing just now by singing, that we also can come and that we can listen to you, what you want to share with us this afternoon. You're awesome, you're great, Father, in Jesus' name. I want you to remain seated. Keep your eyes closed. As we were singing, I got a picture of water. And I got word that there's somebody this afternoon over here, unless it is somebody who's listening after at the recordings afterwards, whose face is in water. And if you're not going to lift your face, you're going to drown. You're going to drown. You've got to lift up your face. You've got to look up to the Father. Time has come. You mustn't wait any time longer. And with our eyes are closed at the moment, I'm asking if there's any one of you who says, yes, that's me. That message is for me. I know I'm in that situation now. I know I'm with my face in the water. And I'm going to drown if I carry on what I'm doing at the moment. I've got to change. I've got to lift up my head. I've got to lift it out of the water. I've got to look up, and I've got to look up to the Father. I've got to speak to Him. If it's you, where all the eyes are closed, then I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. Thank you. And as we were worshiping as well, I felt that the Lord said, there's somebody else who was also, and it's specific now, you can open up your eyes now. There's a lady over here who got a message when we were worshiping, what you've got to share with the congregation this afternoon. Something which is on your heart, a picture, a vision, a word, whatever it is. It's a lady who got it and who's got to come and share it this afternoon.
I just saw this picture. I don't know if, well, we know it, but tonight there's the first worship night for the albums, or the album in Stellenbosch, which is the church where everything started. And I was just thinking about it while we were worshiping. And I just felt God just say, like, we're worshiping here, they're worshiping there, there's thousands of people in the world that are worshiping right now. And we're all just worshiping with what's already happening in heaven. And it was such a beautiful picture. But then I really felt just that he was saying that there are so many people, even people in this church, who are being prideful, who are not coming to the Lord, who are not softening their hearts, who are not drawing close, who don't know him, who won't ever be able to join in that unless they come to the Lord. Unless they bow down, unless they say, Father God, I put myself down and I give myself to you. So it's a bit harsh and I don't feel comfortable sharing it, but I know God is putting it in my heart. And I just really feel God is weeping for you. That he really wants you to come to him, and you are sitting here and you are just shutting off, and you are here for some other reason. Whether you feel you have to, or whether it makes you feel a little bit more comfortable with what you're doing in the week. But you're going to die. You're going to be destroyed because the enemy is coming for you. So when Derkian calls you and you feel it on your heart to come, then you'd better run to the front. Because God is calling you, not Derkian. We're not anyone else. We're not here to make you feel good. We're here to glorify him. We're here to draw closer to him so that when we enter into the gates, he can say, I know you.
We're going to give time as well at the end of the sermon. If you feel through the sermon that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, or maybe the Holy Spirit already spoke to you but you didn't want to react, then you've got time then to react, because we shouldn't wait with that. It's very important. The title today is Still Waters. But if we were going to be asked the questions, what would you prefer? To be in a quiet sea or in a stormy sea? And if we put the two pictures next to each other, then I think the majority of us would say we prefer the calm sea. The rough sea is a little bit, it's not good. We don't want to be over there. That's what the majority of us actually would tell us. But in our life, we are in a rough sea. We've got things which are happening with us. We've got maybe a bad accident, maybe in bad business, unemployment, maybe not the right work, maybe an injustice, maybe we haven't got a marriage partner, maybe we've got marriage problems, maybe we haven't got children, and maybe we've got difficult children. We've maybe got spiritual attacks, we maybe got failure in exams, or something else. There's storms in our lives, storms which are happening in our lives. And there's also storms in our relationship, what we've got with God. It's not always quiet. It's sometimes stormy as well. Godly stormy, I nearly would say, because it helps us. And this afternoon, I felt that the Lord is saying we're going to have a look a little bit at the storm, where Jesus is calming the storm, and what it actually is meaning to us. The story of the storm, we find it in Matthew, and then in Mark, and also in Luke. A little bit of different small changes, but the content of it is exactly the same. To give you an example, Matthew has, for instance, got a boat which is partly closed. But if we take a look at Mark and Luke, they are talking that water came into the boat, so the boat was open. And those are one or two of those small things which are there. But the most important thing is of what actually happened over there. And in the words which Jesus spoke, that's the most important. Now, before we're going to start with the storm, I'm just going to have a look and see what actually happened over there. Because the scripture that we're going to have a look at in Mark, it says, on that same day. Okay, now what happened that day? It was a busy day for Jesus. He has been healing. He healed quite a lot of people. And he also had problems with his family. Because it says over there, of his own people, they said, he's out of his mind. So if your own people are telling you, you're crazy. So that's not nice if you experience that in that same day. Then you're being accused by the Pharisees, which are your spiritual leaders, who are accusing you. And then his mother also came with his brothers and said, come, become a carpenter again. Leave this job. You're going a little bit awkward now. You're going right upstream with the Pharisees and with all the other people. Come back home. Come back to carpentry again. So we know that if we've got a day, and we had in that day, we had family problems as well, then we had a tough day. Then we had really a difficult day. So when Jesus also came to the sea, and when he started teaching from the sea, because he went into a boat, he had to do it. Because the people were coming forward and they wanted to touch him, because they knew there was an anointing over there. And if Jesus was going to be still on land, it would have been that later on they would have actually pushed him into the sea. So Jesus was in a boat on the sea, and that's where he was teaching then. And at the end of the day, Jesus was tired. He was exhausted. He was flat. There was no energy in him anymore. And then he said, let's cross over to the other side. Matthew 4, verses 34. On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, a lot of people which were on the beach over there on land, they took him along in a boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. I tried to get a picture of the boat, and that's more or less the boat what Jesus has been on. Because they say also that this boat, the illustration shows the type of boat that Jesus and his disciples probably used, based on the remains of the approximately 2,000-year-old fishing boat which was found in the northwest region shore of the Sea of Galilee. It could hold 15 men, which was enough for Jesus, to 12 plus 1, which means it's 13. It was 8 meters long, 2.3 meters wide, and then approximately the height of 1.4 meters. So this is more or less the boat what Jesus was on when they were sailing then to the other side. And when they started, it was most probably a quiet sea, because there were quite a few of those fishermen among the disciples, and they would have said to Jesus, "No, don't go onto the sea, it's too rough. We can't go onto the sea, it's too dangerous." So they went onto the sea, so it must have been decent weather when they left. But then something happens. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat in the boat, so the water came into the boat, and that we can see from the picture as well, so it could come into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he, that's Jesus, was in the stern. And then the stern is the backside. You've got the bow and the stern, so the stern is then the backside of the boat, asleep on a pillow. Now, I can tell you, if I had to sleep in a boat just on a pillow, on wood, I most probably wouldn't sleep. If I was exhausted, if I was tired, I maybe could have slept. That is a possibility. But Jesus was asleep on that pillow. And then they awoke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" It says over there, a great windstorm arose. In Matthew, the word which has been used over there is a different word as what has been used in Mark and in Luke. In Matthew, the word which has been used is seismos. And we all know the word seismograph, which is used for detecting and recording earthquakes. So the word which has been used in Matthew is actually has got something more in it. It has got an earthquake, a type of, in it, where the one which has been used in Mark and Luke, which is exactly the same word, lepas, it means it's a strong wind, a tempest, which was there. And Jesus was tired, but Jesus could sleep. He could sleep for two reasons. He was exhausted, he was tired, he could sleep. But there's another reason. And that reason is that Jesus is bigger than a storm. He could sleep. He could sleep quiet. Nothing was going to hurt him. Nothing was going to happen to him. He was bigger than a storm. There was peace in his heart. He could sleep. He wasn't afraid. But then the disciples, they awoke him. I think they must have thought a little bit about it before they've done it like that. Because now you've got fishermen in that boat who've been fishing for many and many and many years on that sea. And those fishermen have got to go to a carpenter. Now, if you're a qualified person in a certain field, let's say you're in IT, then you're not going to a builder and say, "Please, come and help me. I can't figure out this program. I'm battling with it." This is more or less what the disciples had to do. They had to leave their qualifications and say, "We are now at the end. We are perishing. We've got to do something." But they did it very gently. They awoke him. So they didn't make a lot of noise or scream him. I don't know that who actually went to them, if they went two or three or all of them all together. I don't know what they've done, but they awoke him. And then he arose, that's Jesus then. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea. So he's targeting two. He's targeting the wind and he's targeting the sea. And he says, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. From a great storm, it went to a great calm. It isn't it that it became, I should say, halfway, so that they say, "Okay, sure. Worst is gone now. Now we can try and get the water out of the boat, and that we can, it was a great calm. So it means it's totally quiet. If Jesus is doing something, he's doing it good. He's doing it not halfway. Peace, be still. And then the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, and that's then Jesus speaking then to the disciples, why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So the way that Jesus is speaking to the people is also that he is, on the one side, rebuking, but he's also very gentle with the disciples. And he's asking them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And fear and faith are the total opposites. The disciples were afraid of the storm, but they didn't have faith in having Jesus aboard. And Jesus has got more power, more than they actually estimated, because the disciples were very surprised what happened over there when Jesus said, peace, be still, and that the wind ceased, and that there was a great calm in the water. Because the disciples are also people who knew what was written in the Psalms. And then in the Psalms, it says that only one can calm the sea, and it is Yahweh. That's the God. He can calm the sea. Psalm 65, verses 7, it says for us, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the peoples. Psalm 89, you'll rule the raging of seas. When its waves rise, you still them. Psalm 93, verses 4, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Another one, Psalm 107. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. They knew the only one who could calm a sea was Yahweh. That was written in the Psalms. Now there's somebody in their boat, along with them in the boat, who's doing what only Yahweh can do. The disciples must have realized, you know what? This is now really a confirmation. This is the Son of God who is with us in the boat. It's not somebody by accident who spoke out a word and then suddenly the sea became calm or calmer. No, it became calm, totally calm. So it must have been a total surprise for the disciples that they could see, wow, they've got a Son of God aboard. Because Jesus could break that barrier. Jesus could break that attack from the enemy. And we see it many times in scriptures. We see it in the Red Sea, where the Israelites were basically also thinking, okay, we've got water in front of us, we've got the Egyptians at the back of us. There's actually no way out. What is going to happen now? And then in those situations where you think there's no end, it's just going downhill now, then God comes through. And then he shows that he's bigger of that situation. And the water opens up and they can walk through. They had to go to Jericho and they had to fight over there. And I must also think about Joshua. He's got to conquer this place now, the first town where they've got to go to. And you will think, okay, they will take sword and they will take a shield and they will start fighting over there. But then they've got to, with respect, with a worship team, walk around the town for 7 times. And then a total different way of conquering. And God shows that he's bigger. He's doing it on a way which for us human beings, we cannot grasp it. It's mighty. God was greater over there as well. The same happened on the cross. We're going to have communion a little bit later on. When Jesus was on the cross, a lot of people thought, it's finished now. It's over. It's finished. We're not going to see anything coming out of it. And on how God takes that situation and shows that he's bigger, bigger than death, defeated the enemy at the cross over there. He's bigger. And then that situation also has been for the glorification of God's name. The same with the storm over here. The storm, you also would think, it's the 12 people plus Jesus. The 12 who started the biggest movement on earth afterwards. All in one boat, and the enemy is coming with a storm. He wants to wipe them out. that they cannot do what they're supposed to do. And then you also think, ooh, it can go to the wrong side. No, God is bigger than that. God is bigger than that storm. And God could say to that storm, be still, peace. What can we learn from that? Is there a lesson in this for us, what we can learn from what we've seen just now from the storm? Because in our lives, yes, we've got our storms. Like I said, accident, bad business, unemployment, injustice, no marriage partner, or a fight in your marriage, no child, or a very difficult child, problems with your study, more than enough type of storms. We've got enough storms in our heads and enough storms in our lives to keep our days busy, more than enough. But what is our reactions to those storms? Are we going to react on it, or are we going to let it flow over us? And we're just going to see, okay, we'll see what is going to happen at the final end. What is going to happen? How do we actually handle it? If we take a look at the boat, then there are three parties in the boat, not in the boat, involved in the boat story. That's the disciples, but we actually can put ourselves in it. It's us, it's we, it's me in the boat. The next one, if I invite Jesus, then Jesus is also in the boat with me. Sometimes in our lives, we do not invite Jesus. We want to carry on our own. The enemy doesn't actually care about it because we are not a threat. We're not doing anything what is going to promote God's kingdom. So we're not difficult. He will leave us. We're going to sink. If it's not today, then it's going tomorrow, if we're going to be on our own. But if we've got Jesus in the boat, then we are two. And then we become difficult for the enemy because we're not going to keep quiet. We are telling other people what Jesus has done for us. And we've got communication with Jesus. We're talking to Jesus. We're experiencing his presence. We're living him out. We are in the boat. We're going somewhere along with Jesus. And the enemy, which is the third person, he doesn't like it. And the enemy is going to cause storms. He caused a storm for the disciples, and he's also causing storms in our lives, things which are happening. But we've got to follow the example that Jesus has said over there. Because Jesus has been for 3 years involved with his disciples of what they had to do. He gave them in-house training. So they were prepared that they could go, and that they could go on their own, and that they could go out. That also happened afterwards. If we take a look at what happened after the storm, they went to the other side. Jesus sent out demons over there into the pigs. The people lost their pigs. They asked them, please, can you go? Because you're causing economical disruption over here. So he went back again. Then the lady who touched him, the same as what I said, there were a lot of people on the sand over there, on land, who wanted to touch Jesus. This is why he went onto the boat. They wanted to touch him. That woman who had that flow of blood, she was healed over there. Jesus also arose the daughter of Jairus. He was rejected in Nazareth, his hometown. And after all that training, all the examples what Jesus has given to them, then he's sending them out. He's sending them out, the 12, 2 by 2. And he didn't tell one or two, okay, please stay behind and do the admin and you do the finance or anything like that. He sent out all 12 of them. So if you are here and you say, no, sending out means only for certain people. No, it means for you as well. Jesus spoke to the 12 when he said in Matthew 28, you must go. And Jesus sent out 12 over here as well. And then he said to them, he called the 12 to himself and he began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them the power over the unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in the money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. So ladies, if you had to go at that time, it's not like Emirates 2 times 23 kilograms. Sorry, It's only a small bag what you can take along. And that's more than enough. You don't need more. If Jesus is with you, that's all what you need. And then he said to them, to the disciples, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent, cast out demons, and anointed them with oil. Many who were sick, and they healed them. When I was preparing this part, and I'm feeling now it is a type of a prophecy, what is happening over here is that Jesus is telling them, go to a certain house. He didn't tell them, go from house to house in a certain place, but go to a certain house, and from that house, you work in that place. It could be more people over here, I'm not quite sure, but I felt that the Lord is saying, there's somebody's house who's going to be used from where the gospel is going to be preached in your area. It's maybe that you say, yes, I feel that is my house, it has got to be done. Bring that house of yours to the Lord. Prepare it. Speak it in. Pray it in. Ask the Lord to send people to your house that you can share the gospel over there, that you can invite them. But it's for somebody this afternoon, your house is going to be used from where the gospel can be spread in the area where you are staying. Pray about it. Don't let that opportunity go past. Pray about that the Lord can use your house to make a difference in other people's house. We also have been sent out, as the disciples have been sent out. We've been sent out. Shofar Utrecht has been sent out. And we are over here to do exactly the same, with the same instruction as what Jesus gave to the disciples. We've got exactly the same instruction. But we've got the same problem. We've got a storm. Continuously, the enemy is trying to bring a storm in our lives, that we are busy with the storm. Because if we're busy with the storm, we can't be busy with bringing the gospel. And that's what the enemy is looking for. He's trying to keep us busy with nearly, sorry that I'm saying, stupid things. But we think it's very important. But in the meantime, we're letting that opportunity go past that we can share the gospel with somebody. And this is something what we've got to act upon. We've got to do something that we stop it. We don't have to ask Jesus that he should come into our life and say, peace, be still. God is giving us the authority. We can do that. We can quiet our mind and we can say, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to allow that storm is going to happen in my mind, that I'm continuously busy with other things, that I cannot focus on God. The enemy has got a lot of tricks. He's trying to do a lot of things. One of those is creating storms in our lives. I took a picture as well. That's the last one which you can show. It's today, the first Sunday in August. 3 years back, in the first Sunday of August in 2015, at Shofar Utrecht, we had our first sermon. There were 12 people plus one who took the picture. On the boat, there were 12 people plus Jesus. And I saw the similarity again. Is that God is serious with this plan. He's got that plan for us. The two people on the right are here today as well. They are parents of this family over here. And if I maybe just ask you, but before you leave today or before they're leaving, just say thank you to them. Give them a hug out of your heart. Just say thank you to them. Because what we are here today, they helped us in the beginning over here. The others, some of them visited us. Some of them were au pairs. It is a whole mixture of things over there. But that's how we started. Because we wanted to do what God is telling us to do. We've had storms in the meantime. Yes, we had more than enough storms. But the most important thing is that storm was not going to stop us. We use the authority what we've got and we say, peace, be still. You're not going to stop us. That instruction what we've got from God is more important than the storm which is on our lives at the moment. We're going to have communion now. And yes, I'm going to ask that the communion, that the symbols of communion are going to be handed out now. And before we're going to take the communion, and I'm not going to make it a long prayer or anything like that. If you've been in the boat up to now, only on your own, and you never invited Jesus along with you in the boat, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this afternoon, that you've got to invite Jesus into your boat as well, do not walk out over here. I'm asking you now to come forward, that we can take along with you, that we can take communion, that we can pray along with you. So if that's you, if you've been going in your boat on your own, you never invited Jesus, then I'm inviting you to come forward. Don't let that opportunity pass. If the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart, please come forward. Please come forward that we can pray along with you, because this is a very important moment in your life, because it's going to have an effect. Thanks a lot. It's going to have an effect not only on this life on earth, but afterwards as well. Where are you going to be? It's very important. As the symbols are being distributed now, it's the body and the blood of Christ who died for us. God loves us so much that he gave his only son. He died for us that we can have eternal life. And that's so precious. It's so awesome. And what I'm asking you to do now is that as you're sitting together, I'm going to combine a few things now at the same time. So please bear me now. I would like it that you're going to take it, two, three, whatever, make a group, and then take communion together. But then the other thing as well is that I'm going to ask you to also pray. What you've seen just now, the prayer and fast, what we're going to have the next 3 days. It doesn't start today, so you're still going to have coffee and you're still going to have cake afterwards. It only starts tomorrow. And then the fasting is also seeking God's presence. It's where you're changing from that physical what you're looking for. You change it into that spiritual what you're getting from God. We want to get closer to God. There are different types of fasting. I've got one over here, and I'm just going to mention a few things, but there are some of them on the info table as well. Please take it along and have a look at it. There are a few different fastings. The one is a full fast, which means that you're only going to drink something. You're not going to eat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Wednesday evening you can break your fast. There's a Daniel fast where you can only eat fruit, vegetables, and whole grains. You're not going to drink then or eat any meat, dairy, eggs, and or refined or processed items. You also have got a selective fast that you can say, okay, I'm not going to drink coffee, I'm not going to eat sweets, I'm not going to eat chocolates. It's also an option that you can fast on or even eat bread. Then it's also a partial fast what you've got. Then you're going to remain from eating food in the morning or in the afternoon, a certain time of the day, so you also can spread that one a little bit. Then you also have got a soul fast. And a soul fast is basically that you're not going to have too much influence on your soul, which means that your Facebook is closed. You don't watch TV. You cut yourself off from that input, that you can really spend time with God and that you can hear what is on his heart. And then the last one is a negativity fast. A negativity fast is that you're going to refrain yourself from any negative thinking and speaking by replacing every negative thought and word with something which is positive, which is quite an interesting one for me. But I can imagine that it makes a change. If you're battling and you're constantly negative about the government and the police and the this and the that, that you say, okay, that one is me. Let me try that for 3 days, that I can change that I can change the negative into a positive. Why do we fast? We want to consecrate ourselves. We want to spend time with God. And we're going to pray for 3 things. We're going to pray for Shofar Utrecht. We're going to pray for the other churches in Utrecht. It's not for us. save the whole of Utrecht. It's not for us that we want to become the biggest church of Utrecht. That's not for us. What we want to do, what God is telling us to do. So we're praying for the other churches as well, that the other spiritful churches are also going to take it up seriously, of spending time with God, listening what God is telling them, and sharing the gospel with the unbelievers. And then also for sure, for what global is concerned, there are churches in South Africa, Namibia, in Burundi, there are churches, there's a church in London as well, that we can pray, whatever the Lord is putting on your heart, that you can pray together. So I'm going to ask you then to sit together, have communion together, pray for these. At a certain time, Marco and Yolandi are going to start playing. We're going to still have two songs what we're going to sing. And there's still one or two things what I'm going to ask for then, if you want to come forward for prayer or not. So please, look around, see if there are two or three that you can sit together, maybe four. Have communion together and then pray. Pray for Shofar for Utrecht. Pray for the other churches in Utrecht over here. It's not for us on our own. It's for the other churches what we want to pray as well. And then also for Shofar what global is concerned. Then we're going to do the fasting, whatever fasting you are going to do. You can pick and choose actually which fasting you're going to do. We quickly spoke about it, Renee and me, when we were driving over here, just before we started driving over here. And we said, whoever is going to fast and you want to break your fast on Wednesday evening, we're inviting you to come to our house. We're going to communicate it as well so that you people can let us know that you want to come, and we'll make sure that there's a meal and that we can share it together of what happened in those days. What did the Lord say to you? What do you want to share? And then also that we can break the fast together, that we can celebrate, that we can sing a song, and that we can pray together, and that we can be excited of what God wants to do in Utrecht, and where we can be a tool in His hand to make a change over here. Sit together, have communion, and then pray these three prayers, please. If you feel that you say, this is the first time that I'm praying, this is the first time I'm sitting in a group, if it's very uncomfortable for you, just do it. The biggest growth you get when you're out of your comfort zone, just do it. Just pray. Just say. Just, even if you just repeat those three sentences over there, it doesn't matter. Just start with it. It will help you. It will break that barrier. I see that the majority of us are finished with praying. We're going to sing two songs. But when I was preparing the sermon, I felt that the Lord wants to speak to certain people. There are people who have got storms in their sea, but they are afraid to go to Jesus. They are afraid that Jesus is going to say something to them. What can I get from this carpenter? There's a book, More Than a Carpenter. If you ever got time, please read that book. Jesus is more than a carpenter. If you've got a storm in your sea, and a storm in your life, and you say, but I need Jesus, then I'm inviting you to come forward as what we are singing these two songs just now. And there's something else. If you are not having a decent sleeping pattern, because there are things happening in your life which are keeping your head busy, that you cannot have a decent sleep pattern. Jesus had a very decent sleeping pattern. He could sleep on a cushion in a boat which was going to shipwreck, because He was above it. And please come forward, that we can speak it in, that we can pray it in along with you, that there's going to be peace, it is going to be quiet in your mind, and that you can have a decent sleep, and that the enemy is not going to steal from you. So those are the two. If there's something in your life, stormy in your life, you want to bring to you Jesus, this is the time. Don't go out and don't say, okay, I'll pray tomorrow, maybe next week. This is the time. Come and do it now. And the other as well, if you've got a sleeping pattern which is not what it should be, and it's difficult for you to sleep, not as a result of the warm weather, but it's the result of things which are bothering you, which are keeping your mind busy. I'm asking you please to come forward that we can pray along with you. We're going to sing these two songs and then you're welcome to have coffee and tea, speak to us, talk to us. If there's any other need for prayer, please come forward. I'm going to ask the small group leaders also to come forward that you can pray along with us. And please do not forget to give them a hug as well before you leave. Have an awesome week. And have a quiet week, not a stormy week, a quiet week. In Jesus' name.
Like me. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by your glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. In his eyes, if grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest, and I don't have the time to maintain these regrets when I think about. hearing what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
We just thank you, Lord, that we could come and have really intimate worship with you, Lord. And we pray that as we walk out of this place, Lord, that the hearts will stay in that place of worship, Lord. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
For listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.